A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on here?
Resistance is futile.
This,
indeed you are, Paul,
is...
It's in my hand, Paul!
Fan Effect.
When hinges creak in doorless chambers and strange and weird goat screams echo through the halls, whenever candlelights flicker, where the air is jubilant with singing puppets, that is the time when Muppets are present, practicing their puns with comedic delight. Welcome, foolish mortal listeners, to the Fan Effect Podcast's deep dive into all things Muppets Haunted Mansion, brought to you by our friends at the Megaplex Theaters, Utah's premier entertainment experience. I am your host, your ghost host, Gillian Halverson. Okay, I'll drop that shtick, even though it's one of my favorites. So I'm a huge Disney Parks fan. I was just at Disneyland last week. You can hear it in my voice still because I was screaming still all day on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And my voice is a little crazy right now. And my guest today, she's known as a huge Muppet fan. So we are, I think, the perfect people to have this conversation today. I have KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce with me. Welcome.
Yay!
Yay!
We're doing the flailing Muppet arms.
Which was so funny. Oh, wait, I don't want to. Okay. This first segment, we're doing spoilers. We're not doing spoilers.
Okay.
Which is going to be hard for me. You might need to pull me back.
Okay.
So we are talking about the Disney Plus TV movie special that just came out on the 8th of October, 2021, Muppets The Haunted Mansion. And surprisingly, this is actually the very first Halloween special the Muppets have done, like a full one. I'm not sure as much about episodes. Like, I know there's the 1977 classic Vincent Price, The Muppet Show, and little bits and pieces there.
But not a full-on special.
This is the full-on special, and I love that Hallie tackled it was with one of my favorite things in the world, which is a Disneyland ride. Well, all the lands now, basically. But one of my favorite, the Haunted Mansion. And it's just been so, so much fun to be able to do that. And I'm here with Becky. Can you introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us why you're here and why I'm so excited to talk Muppets with you.
So I'm a Muppet super fan. I don't know how or why that happened to me, but one of my earliest memories is of a Miss Piggy puppet that I carried around everywhere when I was tiny. And she had on long purple gloves and she had this lovely hair that I liked to brush. And I took that stupid puppet everywhere I went. But Kermit's always been my favorite.
Definitely.
So I was actually born the same year that the Muppet movie came out. Mm-hmm. One of my very first theater experiences was The Great Muppet Caper. Mm-hmm. And then as a later elementary school student, I went to see Muppets Take Manhattan in the theater, I want to say like 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. Because I was just like, this is the best thing ever.
I love it.
Right? Yeah. So I totally grew up with the Muppets. There's something that's just timeless about them. And I got to admit it, I love stupid corny humor. It just makes me happy.
I'm a very punny person. And so I love stuff like that. And this show is full of punnies, both from the Muppet culture as well as the ride culture, which is kind of interesting there. I love the Muppets as well, which is so funny. It's one thing we first bonded over was the Muppets here at KSL. I grew up on the original Muppet Babies series. I had a Kermit the Frog doll that went with me like everywhere. I got him for Christmas. And he was just my absolute favorite. I was obsessed with Animal as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, like, pictures of celebrities and stuff in my locker, but I also had Animal up there because, you know, he's a rocker. He's a little crazy.
I get
him a lot. And I loved, like, the new movie that came out in 2011, The Muppets, with Adam Segal and Amy Adams. Who's the main guy?
Segal is right.
Segal, but the first name's wrong.
He played Marshall.
We all know him. He's great. forgive
Jason.
Us. Jason Segel and Amy Adams. Oh, that's why I mixed it up. And so when a few months ago, when they announced that they were doing this, that they were doing the Haunted Mansion Muppet special, like the first thing I did was run over to your cubicle, to your office and go, oh my gosh, you have to be in this podcast with me.
And I think I looked at you funny, like, because I remember going, what's the Haunted Mansion? Which is just so sad.
So let's just put that out there in the first place. I was on this last week. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you were on the Haunted Mansion ride?
I've only been on it once, and it was 1986.
So pretty different now. There are some massive changes since then.
Yeah, and also I was in Florida. I was at Walt Disney World, not Disneyland.
Too.
So there's some differences there as well. The basic plot of the ride, I understand, is the same. Uh-huh. But like the building itself looks different, and there's some
It's like a different location and stuff like that, which is fine because the film, it's a little bit different. Muppets Haunted Mansion is available right now on Disney Plus. It's family friendly. It's, you know, TV PG. So, you know, it does have a little bit of those scary elements because they're talking about ghosts and things like that. So little tiny kids might be a little nervous about that, but I thought it was just fine. But I also was one of those kids that's like, give me all the ghosts, give me all that.
And I was the opposite, which is probably why I had only ridden that ride once, to be fair. Right. So as somebody who did not like things that scared me as a kid, I absolutely hated things with like jump scares, that kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah. Couldn't stand it as a kid. I think most kids are probably going to be okay, especially over about age 8.
Definitely. Yeah. And when I was looking at the Common Sense media, they're like 9+, just fine. And even the parents' audience score were like 5+, just fine. So it just kind of depends there.
Yeah. Know your kids.
Right. Know your kids. So let's do a little bit of the review right now.
Okay.
First off, will Muppet fans like this, do you think?
I think so. I was, you know, when we have new Muppet media come out, my bar is always really, really low.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jason
Segel... Because it's really good or it's... Eh.
Yeah, and there tends to not be a lot of in between,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I've had Muppet reboots really, really disappoint me and ones that I've really, really loved. It just kind of depends. I was pleasantly surprised by this, and I think even if you haven't ridden the ride, I think having ridden the ride will help you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even if you haven't, you're going to appreciate all the little Muppet Easter eggs that are hidden throughout.
Definitely. And it's definitely a Muppet show. So the storyline, real quick, without... spoiling it too much, is Gonzo, one of our favorites, both and I were talking about that. He has a challenge to spend a night at the Haunted Mansion, which, you know, just happens to be just like the Haunted Mansions at the parks.
What?
It's like it's Hollywood magic or something like that. So he has to spend the night, and it's full of all these crazy ghosts, 999 ghosts, if you want to be particular. He has to survive the night. It's Muppets, so of course there's musical elements to it. There's lots of puns. There's lots of things like that. There's a little bit of heart mixed into it, mm-hmm. and the relationship between the characters that grow. And it's really a fun one for the kids. But the one thing we're talking about, which you see in the trailers, which I believe... you can watch the trailer and it's not spoiler.
Yeah.
He's with Pepe for his like companion during it, instead of Rizzo the Rat. And we'll go a little bit into the deep
yeah.
why, I think.
So think more Muppets from Space over say, Muppet Christmas Carol, if you're looking for like that kind of buddy movie kind of magic.
And it kind of has that, more that modern feel to it as well, and that buddy, definitely. There's definitely a different thing there. So as a Muppets fan, I enjoyed it. As a ride fan, I enjoyed it even more, to the point where it was actually like, if you don't know the ride, you're going to miss like 70% of these jokes. You're going to be like, what is the two heckling men, Walter and what is it, Waldorf and...
Statler and Waldorf.
Like, what is that thing they're sitting in? It's a dune buggy. What is this joke? What are these different characters? But because I love the ride so much and been on it so many times and listened to the music all the time, I really enjoyed the jokes, the punniness of it, everything like that. It really was a fun experience. I was actually surprised when I looked at Rotten Tomatoes. The audience score was lower than the critic score.
Interesting.
So critics like this. It was like 88%, where audiences were like 64%.
I wonder if that's a reflection of how much of the audience hasn't been on the ride.
So I'm wondering if that is. And a lot of critics, they're people who are a little bit more fluent. They've probably been there. They did their research at least. So maybe that's a reflection of it. But I thought it was really fun. I thought it really does like almost take you through the ride, literally. Like you... the way you enter the building, the way you get into the action.
It's even more so than I think the 2003 movie Haunted Mansion, which I also had not seen before this weekend.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I went and watched it as kind of homework to prepare myself. Mm-hmm. And I felt like of the two things, Muppet's Haunted Mansion follows the ride much more closely.
Yes.
Whereas that movie is more like inspired by the ride, but it tells a story of its own.
Right. And then it has the little elements that are kind of fun and brought into it. I did the same thing. I went back and I rewatched the 2003 version of it, and I liked it more than I remembered.
I was surprised that I liked it. Remember what I said at the beginning about I don't like scary stuff.
You don't like scary stuff, okay.
Right, and as an adult, I was just rolling with laughter. I can see where my teenage self would have been maybe not as thrilled.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, okay, this is good. This is better than I liked. And I did really enjoy the Muppets version as well. Mm-hmm. I want them to do more.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I love the idea of them just exploring the park. But anytime I want more Muppets in the parks anyway. They were kind of a presence there for a while, and now, like, they're not even in California Adventure. I know, the Muppet Show theater thing is gone, and now they're just showing off Mickey PhilharMagic and different shows that are coming in. So I was really excited about the possibility of them coming into the parks more. But, like, they couldn't do Muppets in the Halloween or holiday season, because that's when the overlay of on the Haunted Mansion is of Jack Skellington and Nightmare Before Christmas. So.
Which makes sense.
Right? What can we get to without spoiling it? The music was really fun.
I thought they did a great job with the music. I was expecting it to take more elements of the ride music.
Me too. Like, I only heard the Grim Grinning Ghost theme like once.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought they did a good job of incorporating it and then making everything else that they did new and fun.
Right? Yeah. And they had a lot of really fun and interesting celebrities as well coming in. Mm-hmm. Darren Criss was the groundskeeper, the gravekeeper, and he like does the first musical number with them, and they're incorporating all these fun little puns and stuff from the tombstones and in the graveyard and everything. And if you don't know him, he was in Glee. He was Blaine in Glee. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite musicals of all time, a very Harry Potter musical from the circus. He was Harry. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. My mom was like, I have no clue who that is. I'm like, I know who that is, which was a lot of fun. I loved. There's the ballroom scene. The music
I thought that
was
fantastic. Right. And speaking of Muppet Easter eggs, that ballroom scene is full of them.
Definitely.
That's all I'm going to say because spoilers.
Very good characters there. So we'll wait for that. Let's see. And so the music is really good. The production is beautiful.
Yeah, it was really well. I was expecting kind of some half-hearted production values,
right?
But I thought they did a really good job.
They really had gone and recreated those sets, but with a Muppet twist to it. So it's really cool. Even like the sconces on the wall that are iconic were done. I almost was like, did they film this in Disney World and stuff? But like, so there's going to be a lot of good treats there for people watching. The music was fun. I wish there's a little bit more of the soundtrack from the ride into it. I wish there was more of the other Muppet characters than our two heroes here. That's all I'm going to say in this segment. And overall, you know, I thought it was pretty funny. Like, it's not going to be like Hocus Pocus where I'm going to be, like, obsessed with it every Halloween. But it's definitely going to play a couple times in the Halloween season in my house.
Yeah, I think it might become a tradition at mine as well. And full disclosure, my youngest and only child is now in college. So this is all about me at this point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right? I don't have any kids. It's just my nieces and nephews.
Right,
just go,
like,
or me, honestly.
It's just me.
But I really think families are going to enjoy it. I think it's a really fun watch, and it's not going to be too scary for the kids there. I'd probably give it, like, for a family film, it's a good, like, B. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's not, like, way up there, but
no.
It's a TV film, too.
Okay, look, it's not The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
It's not The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
But it's pretty daggone good.
And has the Muppets, and as me and you always talk about, we're always like, we just want more Muppet stuff. We want them to write it well so that the younger generation can
and
get it.
And that's just it. Like, so much Muppet stuff over the years has been substandard that it's really nice to have something like this come out that I feel like I can share with people and not feel like, well, here's another thing they made with the Muppets, but it's not really that great.
Right? It's like the Muppets now. I wasn't that fond of it.
I'm not a fan.
Saw a little bit. But like, as I was watching this, it automatically started playing like those little Muppet moments on Disney Plus afterwards, and my heart just warmed right up. I thought that was the best. So it's like, yes, let's give me more Muppets. I hope this is a success and that more people are able to see it.
All right, so I think this is going to close our spoiler-free part.
Okay.
And then we get to nerd out about Haunted Mansion, about Muppets, and I want to learn a little bit more from you about why the Muppets are so important in your life.
You got it.
All right, we'll be right back.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Moving right along. All right, so we are coming back to our discussion of all things Muppets and Haunted Mansion and how they clash together in this new Disney Plus series, Muppet Haunted Mansion. And I'm here with Becky Bruce, a fellow Muppet fan, to talk a little bit about the ride. About the movie, I'll talk about the ride.
There you go.
All right, so let's go into a little bit of the spoilers for it. Let's see, what's a good way to get into it? Okay, the puppets. Were you okay with the fact that they were separate? Like, the main characters were away and different?
I was a little torn.
Right?
I get why they did it. It made it easier to incorporate more of the characters without having to write them into the plot, right? So from that standpoint, I was like, okay, I kind of get it. But it felt like weird to me that Kermit and Piggy were a sideshow and that, you know, some of the other characters. But it also set up a really good character development point for Gonzo.
For Gonzo.
So I'm torn. I would have loved to have seen more of the characters that I know and love, but I get why they didn't.
I get that as well, but it also made me kind of wish that they would have developed this a bit longer, and I want to see a secondary storyline at that party a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, maybe that's how they come back and do more with it. Maybe they come back and explore the party.
I do like that. That would be very fun. And I was also confused because are Miss Piggy and Kermit back together?
It sort of looked like it, but it looked like Kermit wasn't really into it.
Right? I hate that.
Well, you know, from a writing perspective, it probably works better so long as there's tension there between them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, not having
them. It seemed a little bit more hatred. Than...
Yeah, there was a whole. So, since we're spoiler filled now.
Yes, we're spoiler filled.
Right. So, there was a whole shtick there where Kermit was dressed as Piggy and Piggy was dressed as Kermit. Mm-hmm. But then Piggy was sort of bullying Kermit into acting like her, and he was just.
He's not having it.
Yeah, just
but
sort
she
of
did
tolerating
do the Muppet
it.
Arms, which were fantastic.
Yeah,
Kermit's
it was kind
arms.
Of fun to see Frank Oz try and channel his inner Kermit.
Oh my gosh, it was pretty great. Like, and I wish I had more of it. Like, then there's a few little cameos at that party, like the Swedish chef.
Oh my goodness, that was the best part of the whole thing for me.
I laughed so hard when he's going by with the
with
chainsaw.
The chainsaw, because of course it's a chainsaw.
Of course it's a chainsaw.
It's the Swedish chef.
So in the show, you have like the party going on with the regular Muppets, but Pepe and Gonzo are invited to this Halloween party, it seems like, but it's really like a trick to get them into the Haunted Mansion at this time.
Right. It's like a challenge. You know, we're all familiar with TikTok challenges.
Yes.
This is one of the oldest challenges in the book. Back in the day where my husband went to school, there was this thing where they entered a lottery to get to be the person who spent the whole night in the crypt on campus on Halloween. It was that kind of thing, only... with the Haunted Mansion.
What was he going to win? He was just, I'm not sure. Did they even set that up?
I think they did. Okay. I don't remember.
It was very unforgettable. He was excited to be there because it was the Great MacGuffin and the Red Herring, which is hilarious in my opinion.
Right. It's, speaking of in-jokes.
Yes. That's where he had disappeared 100 years ago that night. Ooh. And it's so great because, you know, a MacGuffin is like, this is an important plot point. And then he has the red herring in his pocket. It's like, this is
not.
So it was just kind of this funny thing there. And so he had Pepe with him. They're setting up. He was just excited to be there and he wants to be great. And Kermit's like, no, you are great. And I don't know. I am a little confused. So when he goes into and he starts going through the whole haunted house, we have our host there, mm-hmm. Will Arnett, who I absolutely love. Like
your ghost host.
He's their ghost host, and he's doing his impression of Vincent Price, which is fantastic, and very much incorporating the script from the ride into it.
Did he say, "Welcome, foolish Muppets," or did I imagine that?
He might have.
I think he did.
He might have. I need to see it again. Yeah, I totally want to go watch it again. But I'm a little confused because all the kind of traditional ride characters in there, besides like the Gravedigger, the Bride, they all took on the personalities of the Muppets. So what does that mean when another person goes in there? I think it was just a little confusing.
Yeah, maybe we're reading too much into it.
We're reading too much into it. But still, like, I like to write and read stories. And
sure.
I'm like, excuse me?
I think what they were trying to do was, I mean, like, if you looked at things like even the portraits on the walls. Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, and again, we're going back to 1986, so my memory is like, don't ask me. Mm-hmm. But I think each one of those iconic images had a Muppet who took that place. So it wasn't so much that, like, that character wasn't represented, but they were giving it a Muppet twist.
But, like, if I went in there, would that mean my friends and family were taken on by the ghosts? I don't know. I'm overthinking it.
Are you a man or are you a Muppet?
Am I a man or am I a Muppet? Oh, my gosh, the best song.
Speaking of which, super, super stoked to see Walt in there.
Yes. And, like, I was so excited because his voice more than anything stood out for me. I'm like, that's Walt.
And it was a really sweet way to,
X's.
Like, yeah. And it was a sweet way to tie the new Muppet kind of media world
yes.
with the old media world and kind of make all of it canon.
Oh, I loved it, too. And what was really fun about that is there are Muppets from, like, every generation in there. You had all the way back to, like, the Muppet dancers from the Muppet Show in the ballroom scene.
Yes.
And Sweetums. Oh, he was like the butler pushing them on a cart. And I mm-hmm. love Sweetums. I don't know what it is. He's just this big, fluffy, scary, sweet thing. So that was really fun to see that. And like, and the stretching portraits, those were the pigs in space.
Yes.
And like, so you'd go through the stretching room. There's a screaming goat in there, which is a running joke, which was hilarious to me.
And it kept coming back.
And it kept coming back. I liked him more than the skeleton and mummy that kept coming back.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Like, I get what you're doing, but that could have been on the cutting floor.
We're over it now.
We're over it.
Did you catch in the ballroom scene, speaking of Easter eggs, because like the dancing thing is a very classic Muppet Show move.
Oh, yeah.
But then they pulled the camera back and there was this balcony and it was the arches from the opening sequence of the Muppet Show. And they had, you know, just different characters in there. And
I love that.
Like for 3 seconds, right?
No, because I was looking at it as a ride fan more than anything.
Yeah.
That
it was
so
subtle.
Cool. No, I was up there and I was looking at, was it Scooter and Uncle Sam, and they do the draw, so they're supposed to like be shooting, and
they're actually drawing pictures.
Yes, I love it. So like all these characters, they came in and they represented it from Miss Piggy being Madame Pigoda instead of Madame Leota, and what's the band's name?
The Electric Mayhem.
The Electric Mayhem. Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem was there as her band. Kermit the Frog was a host in a time for it, and he had the best song in the picture. I thought. We had a very brief cameo of Rizzo.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I like Rizzo a lot. Of course, I like Muppets Take Manhattan. Rizzo's where you really get to know him,
right? And like, you got more of the gruff New Yorker mafia type. Rat guy. I don't know what his name.
I don't know what that one's name is either. But he's also a Muppets Take Manhattan character.
Yeah, I love him as well. He's so great. One of my favorites was Fozzie as Gauzy, the Hatbox Ghost, which you probably don't even know what
joke.
That was.
I had to look it up.
You had to look it up. Okay.
Yeah. So you tell.
Okay. So the Hatbox Ghost was an original pun in the ride that got removed pretty easily. And it was basically the animatronic, the ghost, his head disappears off his head and it ends up in this hat box that he's holding.
Back and it's in the scene with the bride, right?
Right after. Yes. It was in originally. Now it's just right after as you cross into the cemetery. And that's got put back in 2015. Everyone was so excited about it. And so Fozzie is now Gauzy the Hatbox Ghost.
Right.
Which is really fun. Which I thought, you know, if you hadn't seen that, what would you wouldn't be
You'd
aware
just
of
be
that.
Like, I don't know. I think maybe you would have connected it to other Halloween-y tropes like the Headless Horseman or, you know, any of those things. And as a stage performer, mm-hmm. comic type, it made sense to have him be the guy doing the magic trip with his head in the box. I could also have seen Gonzo doing that, but since Gonzo was your
lead.
Right.
But I can see Gonzo in like any of these characters in the Haunted Mansion.
Can we talk about how hilarious it is that nothing scared him?
I loved it. Yeah.
Because of course it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Right? He's not afraid of anything. You could be like torturing him and he'd be like, cool, do it some more.
They do that in Muppet Treasure Island when they have him on the rack and he's just so excited and he gets off and he has these big wiggly arms.
It's such a great gag.
And so that's the thing is Gonzo's going through this and one thing that keeps reappearing is this subject of fear. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what locks you in the haunted mansion is what is your fear, what will hold you there, and so that's one thing they're trying to get out of him on that ride, and they just can't do that, but they're able to do that with Pepe's mm-hmm. a very needy social character. He is just really there as like, I don't even want to say it, like a trope sidekick.
Right.
He wants to see the celebrities.
The famous peoples.
And he gets to see one famous people, which is probably the best celebrity guest in there. And that is...
Yeah.
It's John Stamos, but it's Juan Stamos.
Because Pepe.
It's Pepe.
Yeah. I'm torn between whether I think Juan Stamos or Taraji P. Henson is the better guest appearance. She's not really a guest, mm-hmm. right? She's got more of kind of a starring.
She's one of the ghosts that are definitely there and in charge of the mansion. And she is like one of the starring ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, so she manages to hypnotize Pepe mm-hmm. and he's going to become.
In love.
Yeah. And like you as the audience get to see how creepy and scary she is and her eyes keep flashing red. Mm-hmm. She can sing. Who knew?
I had no clue.
I had no idea.
Oh my gosh, I wrote that down here. I'm like, I didn't know she can sing. I just knew her from Hidden Figures.
I think that tango song might be my favorite song from the whole thing.
Oh, I thought that one was a little boring, but it's also
I thought it was adorable.
Me, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was also partly me going, oh my gosh, that lady can sing?
She
I had no idea.
She's going to be in Annie Live next year for
who
a
knew?
TV production. I had to look it up because I'm like,
wait.
She can sing?
Miss Hannigan?
Miss Hannigan.
Sweet.
Right? I'm kind of excited. We'll see how that happens.
Now that I've seen her be an evil bride, I can totally buy it.
Right? And she's really fun and more comedic than I've seen her in the past. So that was really awesome. I really liked the ghost graveyard scene out front. You had a lot of people come through.
So many guest appearances. Okay.
So many guest appearances that were primarily in the ghost graveyard scene. You had the singing bus, like Sky Jackson. You had Pat. What is
Sajak.
It? Pat Sajak was in it. Yes, and then the ghost kind of popped up, and it wasn't just the Tombstone ghost, but like they even had the opera singer, mm-hmm. which was what's her face,
Chrissy Metz,
which was awesome. But my favorite, of course, is going to be Ed Asner.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I have to say, I had a moment there where I was like, oh, was that like the last thing that he recorded before he passed?
It's one of the last things he recorded. That and the Doug Days Disney Plus series was some of the last.
I love Ed Asner. Right? Yeah. One of my favorite shows ever is Mary Tyler Moore.
Right? It's so funny. I've mm-hmm. only watched bits and pieces as I've grown up and seen different things there. But he's one of my favorite. It did get us on a whole tangent of the new Doug Days and Up and Stuff celebration, which was fantastic. My family watched it all. So I love that. And then Danny Trejo was one of
my gosh. Speaking of tying newer Muppet franchises to older Muppet franchises, he has a fantastic role in Muppets Most Wanted. He's one of the inmates in the
Muppets too.
So
that's so funny.
He's just a guy that you would not expect to show up in Muppet productions, and yet here he's been twice.
There is this big gruff guy, which just shows his sense of humor. And I loved as they were kind of running out of the mansion, he was like, "Bring back tacos!" Like it's just something so stupid. I love little one-liners.
I know.
So we talked kind of a bit about the puppets as the characters within it. I thought it was pretty funny. Did you think it was funny?
I did. I had a few laugh out loud moments.
Right.
I thought probably my favorite laugh out loud moment was, I promise we're not going to explain all the jokes.
That was Will Arnett, the host.
Yeah, that was so good. There were some other ones that were just kind of like, oh, okay, ha ha ha.
Right.
But that's the Muppets and that's what I want.
Right?
Know?
You get the very punny, the kind of flat. It's what you were saying before. Some of them are really great. Some kind of fall flat.
Yeah, but they're also kind of laughing at themselves, and I think that's part of it.
100%, totally aware of it. Even the fact that Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog were each other at the Halloween party.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Loved that. Loved that. I think some of my favorite ones were definitely from the ride. My absolute favorite one is in the middle of the raucous song about life hereafter here at the, and they're trying to convince him to die and stay there, basically, at the Haunted Mansion. Everything just stops, and the doom buggy that they're zoomed in on, which is where Waldorf and...
Statler and Waldorf.
Statler and Waldorf. The hecklers. The hecklers are sitting in, just stops, and they totally do this spiel that's like, the ghosts have interrupted our show. Like, if they,
right, like the ride has accidentally stopped or something.
What they do on the ride anytime someone that needs a little bit more time or a wheelchair is going on and off, they do that on the ride. So, of course, I'm laughing my head off. Everyone else would be like, I haven't been on the ride. What is that?
Yeah, I figured that was probably a ride in joke that I wasn't understanding, but yeah. I love me some Statler and Waldorf. Like,
right? There is something about those two that are classic and iconic, and they just need to be, like, instead of the angel on my shoulder and the demon on my shoulder, can I just have both of them?
The grumpy old men on my shoulders.
Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to be thinking about that all the time. You know, I did think there's some missed opportunities. There's the Escher staircase at Walt Disney World, which is really cool. They could have put that in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And you could definitely have a Muppet tie in there because that plays really prominently in Labyrinth.
Right? Yeah, and that would have been fun to see a little bit of that. But I wonder if copyrights and stuff, if there's not
probably
crossover. I just wanted Rizzo there. And part of the point, though, of the show is Gonzo says he has no fear, but he does have a fear.
It's a fear of being alone.
It's a fear of being alone. And he thinks he needs to be great to be that. And when he's in front of that mirror, which reminds me of the Mirror of Desire, of Ezered, however you pronounce it.
Erised.
Erised, thank you. I can see like the letters in my head, but I can't say it.
It was a fun little through the looking glass kind of moment.
And a very terrifying puppet that he turned into, I think.
Yeah. Okay, if there was one moment where I was like, okay, kids, maybe cover your eyes, hide behind the couch. It was Gonzo looking at himself in the mirror. That was kind of creepy.
And he got older and older and his nose shriveled up and he had all those wrinkles on his eyes. Okay. And I'm like, that's the most terrifying thing of this film. Like, I might relate it to in Indiana Jones.
Drinking the
goblet and all of a sudden it's his face melting. I'm like, yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
But he's able to overcome that and he remembered the words that... And he's actually able to see the party of Kermit the Frog. So he's able to realize, I'm great by being myself.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Which, what a great message to send to kids, too.
Right? You know, and I love that because, you know, I just came back from Disneyland. I was with my second family, my best friend, and her whole extended family has just accepted me in as another daughter. And we'd be in the lines. And the five-year-olds would be a little bit nervous. There's two of them. And I'd just get down and I'd talk to them. And one thing I was telling them is, like, it's okay to be scared, but you need to be brave also.
Yeah.
You need to take action, feel what you're feeling, but move forward because of what you're learning. And I think that's just kind of what it reminded me. It's okay to be afraid, but you got to move forward. You got to do that.
Yeah. And there's power in being yourself.
There's power in being yourself. It's okay to be yourself. I didn't know that until I was 29, and my life is totally different now. So I thought it was really cool. Like, I almost wish they would have pushed that theme earlier in the film a bit harder so that it would have been more drawn out for the kids, you know? I look back now and I see it. Yeah. And then, of course, Pepe just wants to be loved and has to be ripped out by...
Oh, goodness.
Like, if they had Rizzo, what would Rizzo's fear be? Like,
probably not being able to find his jelly beans.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, all I can think of is food. Like,
I'm creating scarcity, drives the prices up.
All I can think is food. So maybe that's why Pepe was in there.
Yeah, he probably does make a better choice for being taken in by the bride.
Definitely. Let me think. The pet cemetery, I would have liked to have a little bit more of that from the outside.
And I felt like some of the cameos, and this has been a longstanding thing for the Muppet Show, for the Muppet movies, all of them. Cameos are a huge part of that, right?
Huge, 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 huge.
There are some really big names in there that barely got a blink.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I was like, man, I'm thrilled that you managed to get Pat Sajak to be a singing head, but...
It's like three frames.
Yeah, blink and you miss it.
And, like, the CGI on it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I think if you're doing...
Although,
practical Muppety thing. They should have been Muppets.
Or you could have made a Pat Sajak Muppet.
That would have been hilarious. I didn't even realize it was Skye Jackson as one of them until the trailers start playing.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. So I think those are some of the missed opportunities. But overall, I thought it was pretty funny. Like mm-hmm. I said, I'd give it a B. Anything else deep diving to go in here before I get to pick your brain about Muppets in our next segment?
Let me think about that. I think if we hadn't had Gonzo be the main way into the story, this would have been, I think, scarier for the littles.
Right. Yeah. They can
part of the reason
Gonzo,
I think that it's probably okay for most smaller kids. And again, know your kid. If you had a kid like I was, she probably doesn't want to watch it. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But for most kids, Gonzo was a way in to watch this and enjoy that fear without feeling like paralyzed by it. Right. Because he wasn't afraid.
I've never thought about that before, but that's kind of, he's always been kind of the narrator bringing you in.
Mm-hmm. Like as Charles Dickens.
He was the Charles Dickens. He and Treasure Island, he was the best friend that kind of moved it along.
And then he gets his origin story in Muppets from Space.
Which I actually liked Muppets
from
Space.
Speaking of themes about alone.
Right.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. Well, and it kind of leads into the next question, which I think we should start our next segment on, which is, what do you want to see him tackle next and why?
Great question.
All right. We're going to come back and talk about what we want to see the Muppets do next.
Okay.
Welcome to the life hereafter. Sleepless nights, eternal laughter. By the farm, push up some daisies.
One dick down with us, creepy crazies.
All right, welcome back to Fan Effect. Kellyanne Howerson here with my good friend Becky Bruce talking Muppets and Haunted Mansion. And we left on a bit of a cliffhanger. So we've been talking about the Muppet Haunted Mansion. And I want to know, what do you want to see the Muppets tackle next in a bigger production? Not just a short on Disney Plus, not just a YouTube video or a viral thing. What do you want to see them tackle?
I think they would be fantastic with a full-length Halloween-type movie.
Yes!
I don't think they should retell somebody else's story, because they do that very well, and they have done that in the past. I think they should pick one of their own and develop that. I think this shows that they have an audience that would appreciate it, and they'd be able to handle it in a way that was both funny and scary at the same time, and therefore kind of fulfill that Disney mission of entertaining without, pushing you away.
I like that. Do you see this as more of a modern telling version, kind of in the vein of the new Muppet movies? Or
I think you could go either way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you do kind of a Salem witch trial kind of thing with them. I don't know.
The Muppets do the Crucible.
So Kermit is the older man and Piggy is the teenage girl. No. Okay. Never mind.
That's too
scratch
much.
That.
We don't
scratch
want to see
that.
Kermit hanged at the end of this either. Like, that's just...
No, that got dark. Sorry. No, I was picturing something more along in the spirit of Nightmare Before Christmas, but Muppet style rather than Tim Burton style.
I kind of love that. And I want to bring back a little bit of the romance between Piggy and Kermit again. Like, you don't see that in the modern stuff. I want to bring that again. Like, my love of those two together really came from Muppet Treasure Island. Like, and they still have the animosity and kind of the against each other. She's Benjamina and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
but they also loved each other and longed for each other. I want to see a Hallmark Halloween funny Muppets. I think, there we go. Pitching that. Take it, Disney.
Right. Copyright Kellyanne and Becky.
Kellyanne and Becky. Yep. Give us credit at the end.
How about you? Do you have any long-fulfilled things you'd like to see the Muppets take on?
My absolute favorite Muppets ones is when they take on a classic story and they make it fun, they make it modern, they make it accessible. Treasure Island is actually one of my favorite books, classic books of all time, and it's partially because of like my love of the Muppets version of it.
Oh, I could see that.
Definitely. So I would love for them to tackle a little bit more of those, more of the classic literature type stuff.
Do you have one in mind?
Ooh.
What about something like Secret Garden?
I love Secret Garden, but it's been done too much.
It has. Mm-hmm. But I could see the Muppets doing a really good job with it.
But I could see the Muppets doing a really good job. Okay. So what's my favorite? Ordinary Princess, Jane Eyre.
Wuthering Heights would probably, again, be too dark. But
right? They so might many be able to, so dark.
Yeah, they might be able to do something fun with that. Who knows?
So one thing's really cool is sometimes they can take these classical stories that are a little bit darker and make them more approachable for kids. Mm-hmm. So maybe taking something classic and wonderful with deep meaning like Les Miserables or Jane Eyre or something like that, just like Wishbone, because I love Wishbone.
Yeah.
Bringing that in and giving it a Muppet spin and a little bit of musical. And like I said before, it needs to have strong Kermit and Piggy moments. I love that.
Ooh, what do you think about something like an Anne of Green Gables, but Pig yes. of Green Gables?
Yes. Oh, I want to see the clash of red braids on that green skin. That would be fantastic. But then I also love the new Muppet movies, so it'd be fun yeah. to see like where what happened to Mary and whatever.
Mary Gary and
Mary Gary
Walt.
What happened to them? I want to see.
Yeah,
a little
where
bit
did they
Walt.
Go after that?
Give me more of that. So that's definitely one. And if they tackle a ride again, I'd be very happy with almost anything. Like
they'd have to do something like a Pirates of the Caribbean,
mm-hmm. which has been done so heavily.
It has. But I feel like a lot of the other rides, it would be very hard to tell a story around.
Yeah, they can kind
you
of
something
pull them
with
out.
Some conflict.
Maybe like a whole mixed adventure of one, like the old sing-alongs where we go on each little ride, but they
Muppet
have a little thing.
Muppet Star Wars.
Why didn't we say that in the first place?
I don't know. But
Family Guy has done it. Robot Chicken has done it. Like every TV. That's what I want. Changing my mind.
Okay.
We need a Star Wars.
Okay, so obviously Kermit is Han Solo. Piggy
yes,
is Leia.
Of course.
Who is Luke Skywalker?
Could bring. I love Walt. Can we bring him in?
Maybe.
Because we can draw in the younger. He's kind of has that vulnerability to him, finding his inner strength. Has to be something about him whistling Star Wars. That'd be fantastic. Old Ben, Uncle Sam.
Yes.
Yes. Who else? Who's Chewbacca?
Oh, Fozzie.
Fozzie? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if Rolf or Rolf or...
Sweetums, maybe.
I love Sweetums.
Because he doesn't really talk. Jack not name, Jack job.
That would be fantastic. Oh my gosh, I love this. We might need to like draw this all out. I love it. Okay, Waldorf and Statler, the hecklers. I probably just said that wrong again. Who would they be?
Good question.
They need to be some sort of Jedi ghost. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yoda. Who's Yoda.
Or maybe you pull like a Marley and Marley type thing and they are
and
Ben.
Marley. Ooh, I do like that.
So you
that.
Have Kenobi and Kenobi.
And they could be like teasing each other the whole time, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, that could
are
be
we,
a lot of fun.
Are we doing the classic trilogy, the original trilogy?
Yeah, let's do 4, 5, 6.
Okay, I do like that.
Because I think if you go prequels, now we've got too much going on.
Yes, definitely way too much there. Yoda. Because it is a Muppet anyway.
Well, it's
Can
Frank Oz.
Can we just have Yoda be Yoda?
Yeah, Yoda. It's Frank Oz already.
I love this. C-3PO, R2-D2. Oh, I love this. We're going to have to like write this up some other place and put that down because we're not talking about Muppets. Ah!
Fandom schmandom.
Speaking of fandom, why the Muppets? What has got them not just from when you were a child, but to still love them today?
I think they're like comfort food to me,
mm-hmm.
right? So like I grew up with them and I kept going back to them. I mean, the Muppet Babies thing was absolutely a phenomenon when I was a kid too.
Mm-hmm.
But they were always there for me
right.
in a way that like, you know, other things would change and I could always go back to that. Now, I want you to picture roughly circa 1991.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a DVD player that didn't exist yet, or if it did, only rich people had it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a VHS player and I own like 8 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the 8 movies is the Muppet movie.
Yes.
So I would come home from school. I'm not joking. I was like in the 8th grade. I would come home from school and I would put on the Muppet movie and I would do my math homework.
Yay.
And it was like this total pattern for an entire year where I was just like not even really watching it, just kind of moving right along, you know, doing my thing.
The music in that one is so awesome.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. And then as an adult, I've come back to it. Actually, I think I still have the VHS tape. That's another story. I don't have a VCR anymore. But I think that's what it represents to me is it represents home and comfort mm-hmm. and like you can't be unhappy with the Muppets, right?
Oh, I love it.
You know,
mm-hmm.
kind of like how Steve Martin says you can't be sad when you hear banjo music. You can't be unhappy when the Muppets are around.
I love that. I think for me is this exploration of imagination, no matter where it's at. And the concept of it's okay to parody.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love that. It's so much of my humor today is joking and parody and puns and things like that. For me, like, my favorite growing up was probably, of course, my favorite Christmas film, Muppet Christmas Carol. But I love The Treasure Island. Mm-hmm. Some show we actually had the VHS of a sing-along, which pulled from the show and then made up its own pirate theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, I'll start singing it. I'm a little pirate, short and fat. Here's my eye patch. Here's my hat. One day I pulled the plug. The boat, it sank. It's why they made me cross the plank. Love it. Ingenious. Silly. That came from a Muppet sing-along. So it's just the idea that you can take imagine and characters and bring out whatever you want from them and still have these good stories and friendships that keep. Like, the first time I saw the new Muppets movies, I was heartbroken that they had kind of broken up. I'm like, no, you can't. You can't do that. They need to be together. They're the Muppets. So it's just something wonderful and magic for me. And, you know, do you have a favorite Muppets skit, show?
Oh, that would be like trying to pick one of my children. Fortunately, I only have one kid.
Okay.
I mean, the Muppet movie itself, I don't mm-hmm. think you can top. In
no.
terms of the Muppet show itself, I don't think it gets any better than Pigs in Space.
Pigs in Space!
Yeah, I for whatever reason, that always stuck with me. In terms of other things, so tough to pick. Of the more modern stuff, I think I have to go Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a better Scrooge out there than Michael Caine.
There really isn't. He is just that character.
He's really good at it.
Uh-huh.
And that speaks to, you know, how the Muppets have always kind of incorporated those really smart guest cameos,
mm-hmm.
right? And sometimes in a larger part and sometimes in a smaller part. But, you know, one of the best parts of the original Muppet movie is the Steve Martin waiter bit.
I was just really thinking about that.
Would you like to smell the bottle cap? I mean, like, it's just...
Excellent choice, sir.
It's comic genius. And it, what a great casting choice for them to incorporate him. And there's just... How do you pick just one?
Is there, okay, so people who are lesser into the world of Muppets, is there one you would suggest that's lesser known for them to go hunt down and see?
I think people would be surprised at Muppets from Space. It didn't really do great in the theaters,
mm-hmm.
But I thought as a Muppet story standalone, you don't have to know a lot about their world to appreciate that movie. It has a fantastic soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
and you get a cool origin story for Gonzo, who otherwise we don't really know much about.
Mm-hmm. He's just a whatever
right.
for the rest of it all. And, you know, anytime we got Gonzo seeking family, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Plus, there's, you know, it's sci-fi, too. So if you're like, I don't like Muppets, but you're like, oh, I love sci-fi.
Bring it in.
Muppets from Space.
And there's something about a good Muppets villain that is just fantastic. There are these over-the-top type ones. And from that one, as well as, you know, the new Muppet movies, like, the villains are pretty awesome, too. So there's something really great about the Muppets there.
And I think they've just always done a really good job of having something that is entertaining for little kids, but also parents.
Right? And it's not too filthy. It's you don't
No.
Like,
like you can watch it together.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's expressive. I just love Jim Henson. I watched mm-hmm. that documentary on not that long ago. That was just fantastic. You know, the fact that he just wanted to bring creativity and, you know, speak to children and adults at the same time. Oh, I love it. I love it. Anything else Muppet to share before we close up today?
You can never go wrong by following Kermit's life advice. He's just a great role model for everybody everywhere.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today. Can you let our listeners know a little bit more about where they can find more of your content, what projects you're working on?
Yeah. So I work at KSL News Radio. I do a lot of work for our website. Unfortunately, not a lot of it has anything to do with Muppets.
Mm.
I cover a lot of court cases and I do a lot of, you know, nerdy digging stuff on COVID-19 numbers and all kinds of stuff like that. But if you go to KSLNewsRadio.com, you'll see my byline there. It's just Becky Bruce, and I'm happy to help you find out what you need to know.
And she has an awesome podcast, Hope and Darkness, that was out last year. It's pretty big.
Yeah, thank you.
I always forget to tell people about that. It was
yeah,
so
you
good.
Were trying. Josh Holt was a Utah man who was stuck in a Venezuelan prison for almost 2 years, unfairly, on completely made-up charges. And his story of how he managed to finally get his freedom is honestly incredible.
It is phenomenal. I listened to the whole thing within like 2 days because I had moved into the podcast area and like, I'm going to listen to everything and voop, one big gulp. It was so good. All right, so you can find her there. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so excited. We finally got to talk Muppets, and we need to develop our Star Wars Muppet script, I think.
I think Disney will pay us some good money for this one.
And I think Andy would even be willing to join in on that because he is the Star Wars expert.
Yes.
And thank you guys for listening to this episode of Fan Effect, a KSL News Radio podcast. Beyond sci-fi, fantasy, gaming, and tech, we are excited to share with you our knowledge and often arguments on everything pop culture and fandom. Based in the beautiful Beehive State, FanFX celebrates Utah's unique fan culture, and we are excited to bring you local guests that feel the same way. I'm your host, Kellyanne Halverson. My co-host, Andy Farnsworth, wasn't able to join us today, but we like him. Listen regularly on your favorite platform, kslnewsradio.com, kslpodcast.com, or on the KSL News Radio app. Do you have a fun idea or local fan culture topic you'd like us to explore? Let us know messaging our Facebook page at FanEffectShow, where you can also get the latest nerdly updates and join the conversation. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FanEffectShow. And just thanks again for listening. We hope to have you back here real soon for another episode of Fan Effect.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.